Hello, this is Pope Francis, and I invite you to listen to WESU-FM, the home of Reasonably Catholic Keeping the Faith, and 88.1 FM, Middletown. Gracias, and God bless.
Hello, and welcome to our Papal Visit Recap Show, my humble attempt to capture a moment of pure love and joy. May we feel its reverberations for a long time. I probably don't have to tell you that that wasn't really Pope Francis we heard just now. That was Rigoberto Mangi, whom I met while standing at a barricade waiting for Pope Francis to roll by in his little Fiat on his way to take a spin through Central Park in New York City on Friday. Check out the photos at reasonablycatholic.com. And also, in case this went by you, notice that Fiat is Latin for so be it, Mary's famous reply to the angel at the Annunciation. But back to Rigoberto. Though he's not the Pope, there is something spiritually nifty about our encounter, which I can't resist sharing to kick off this highlight reel of Pope Francis's visit to three American cities. After I'd recorded Rigoberto, I took his name so I could let him know how he could hear himself on the air. And this young Latina NYU student who'd been standing to my left exclaimed in surprise, "That's my last name." Rigoberto looked stunned for a moment. Then he told her he's from Honduras. She said she's from Peru. He said very few people where he lives have that name. She said the same. Next thing, they were conversing in rapid Spanish and trading contact info while another pilgrim, a German Lutheran woman named Bridget, and I looked on, speechless. And yet, why should we be surprised about anything that happens in this Pope's orbit? With his wide-open smile and compassionate words and actions, he inspires so much love, so much respect. Miracles, large and small, are bound to happen. I consider it something of a miracle, in fact, that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops granted my request for press credentials. After the first day of the Pope's trip, however, I mostly did without them, since hanging with the press means largely being penned in, arriving hours before events begin, and being stuck there until security spirits Francis far away. What follows in this episode, then, are mostly voices from the crowd gathered at the barricades in the three-city love fest that was Pope Francis's visit to the U.S. I thank everyone I encountered, encounter being a favorite word of the Pope's, for our joyful time together, for your sharing your thoughts and emotions, and for inspiring me with your faith, a faith so deep it is undistracted by any disagreements with the Church. Everyone I asked, for instance, said, yes, of course women should be priests, and yes, of course gays should be allowed to marry. Nobody cared that Francis, at least so far, disagrees. We love him anyway. We believe he may come around. And it was no coincidence that the Women's Ordination Conference held its annual convention in Philadelphia just before Francis arrived in the States. I visited that event and spoke to its organizer. You won't want to miss that interview in the next episode of Reasonably Catholic, when it will be safe to be cranky again. Today, we give our full attention to Pope Francis's visit. Back in a moment, this is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and WESUFM.org, providing community radio that matters, and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM Stores, UConn's radio for the people.
Arrivederci, Roma.
And so we start in Washington, D.C., where one of the first people I met was journalist Jennifer Lee Oprahori, who's producing a documentary which you'll be able to see at nationalsecurityzone.org. I'll post that information on the reasonablycatholic.com blog. Now here's Jennifer.
We're really interested in looking at the potential impact the Pope's visit could have on global issues of conflict. So we're just really interested in hearing from the people to see what kind of impact, if any, they think this visit will have, what it means to them, because honestly, this is a great event, but the majority of people aren't going to get FaceTime with the Holy Father, you know, because we've heard political analysts go at it, we've heard religious experts go at it. So what about everyday people, both religious and lay?
As we got to know each other over the course of the morning, Jennifer shared a bit about her own issues with the church.
Inherently, I love it, but it's almost as though, I don't know how to explain it. I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school from kindergarten through freshman year of high school. I sang in choir since I was old enough to read the books, and I love the church, but my parents got divorced when I was in my early teens. Part of what disillusioned me with the church for a while was kind of the shunning of divorcees, seeing my mom be persecuted for trying to look out for us, for trying to make sure that we made it through what we were going through. The irony is she remarried a Catholic and you can't even get married in the Catholic church. But the other thing is that I am very, I guess, liberal in my views, and I think the church has ways to go, and Pope Francis is making strides, and I'm grateful for them. My relationship with Jesus is still there. I still have a devotion to Mary and St. Therese, and I pray to St. Anthony every time I lose anything, but the Mass doesn't necessarily feel like home, and it's not that I haven't tried to make it feel like home, because I did, but there's an intangible thing that wasn't necessarily there. So I worship at a Christian church because it all goes back to Jesus anyway, but I still catch myself saying Catholic prayers all the time. I still say the Our Father. I still say the Hail Mary. If I'm stressed about something big, I will start saying the Rosary. I even have an app on my phone. That's kind of where I'm at. I love the church. Pope Francis is giving me hope for what it could be.
One of the next people I ran across in D.C. on the campus of Catholic University, where Pope Francis would canonize a new saint, Junipero Serra, was Channel 3 reporter Kevin Hogan, of whom I've been a longtime fan.
You have some experience covering popes.
I have. Seeing Pope Francis today will be the fourth pope that I've witnessed or experienced. It started in 71, Colby High School, Bridgeport, Connecticut. I was president of the student council. And Bishop Walter Curtis at the time asked me to represent the school at the canonization of Maximilian Kolbe. And then in 1998, Channel 3 asked me to be a special producer for Al Terzi and videographer Mike Fisher. And when Al and Mike could not get their visas from the Cuban government, Channel 3 said, look, you're going to have to do the whole thing if they're not there. So I took it upon myself to do the best journalistic job I could. And I did. I came back to a standing ovation in the newsroom, and the general manager said, can you start tomorrow? So I was blessed. Then in 08 in New York City, I covered Pope Benedict, and then now Francis. Yeah.
What's your feeling about him?
You know what? He's reaching to the common soul. He seeks out, and that's why there's such a security issue, you know, because they don't know what he's going to do. He wants to be himself. He doesn't want to be held down. He wants to reach out. He wants to touch the every man, the every woman, you know.
Talk about hearing his speech at the White House just now.
It was beautiful. It was quite moving. I got emotional because he was talking about how America, how the U.S. was built on the backs of the immigrants, which includes my grandparents from Canada as well as Ireland. At 14 years old, coming over from Ireland on a boat. You know, would we let our kids do that? And they built families, and here I am.
And I just learned that you have deep roots in Connecticut. In fact, you went to Catholic school.
Assumption in Ansonia Grammar School. My mother was the secretary there for 47 years, up till 2 years ago. And, she retired. Colby High School, Bridgeport, graduated in 72. Went to Western Connecticut, graduated.
What are your hopes for the church?
I hope people see his messages. I hope they feel his love. I hope they come back to the church, because so many of our children or my contemporaries, you know, had left for one reason or another. Dissolution of a marriage, and get annulments, you know, it's like, look, that's to him, it's let's tighten this up, you know, let's get them back in. Because we need the help, you know. Communities need help. Our church in Old Lyme, I'm president of the parish council at Christ the King in Old Lyme. And we have a lot of missions going on. We reach out to the prison ministry. We reach out to the soup kitchen. We reach out in so many ways. We need help.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a special papal highlight reel coming to you from WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and WESUFM.org, providing community radio that matters, and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM stores and WHUS.org, UConn's radio for the people. Back after this message.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA. Or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
Especially notable at the scene of the canonization mass was the tremendous diversity in the crowd. People of all ages, colors, and faiths, happy to wait outside under a hot sun to experience the mass via Jumbotron and loudspeakers. Soledad, who usually works in the Basilica bookstore there, but was among the many workers and volunteers staffing the event, seemed to speak for everyone.
You are Soledad.
Soledad, yeah. You know, happy for the Pope.
What is it about him?
Oh, he is really sweet. He is very humble. And he cares about very much about the poor people, very friendly. He cares about the family, stay together, and that is the most important.
Do you think you'll get to see him?
I'm waiting for.
We'll pray.
Yeah, we pray for, yeah. We always pray for.
Thank you.
So excited.
I confess I left the canonization mass early when I learned that the Secret Service would require us all to stick around until after the Pope was safely on his way, and also that the metro station nearby was among the tiniest in D.C. and would likely be swarmed with people for hours. Sacrilege, I know, but I was eager to see Ellen, a friend from our Catholic high school days, now living in Virginia. We got caught up over a nice dinner, then she drove me to Union Station. Inside, I met Fred, a trained Baptist minister. His views line up with the Catholic teaching in that he's against the use of birth control, believes abortion is murder, thinks women should not be pastors, and homosexuality is a sin. He also views the Pope and priests generally as middlemen whom Catholics revere when they should be going directly to God. And yet, for all that, he does appreciate Francis's popular touch.
He's trying to be the people's pope, you know, because he seems to be, from what little that I could see, I think he's trying to basically get into the neighborhoods rather than being in, you know, with the bishops and what have you, mm-hmm. being stuck inside, quote unquote, the four walls. Mm-hmm. I think he, from what I can see, he's trying to be one with the people, trying to get into their everyday, you know, everyday lives and whatever. That's the little bit that I saw. I think there's some sincerity in it.
Next stop, New York City. I started my day at the Media Center inside a Midtown hotel where, as at Catholic U, a large conference room had been equipped with rows of tables at which journalists from around the world worked on their stories and filed them. I was charging my cell phone at one of those tables when I overheard two women, each of whom encountered the Pope up close and personally. One got a selfie and a handshake, the other a hug.
I'm Estella Estacio, and I'm from Arlington, Virginia.
I'm Maria Beltran, and I'm from the Diocese of Dallas.
You're going home with some amazing memories and a souvenir.
Yes.
Tell me from the beginning what happened.
You first.
Okay. I was assigned to Catholic Charities, where the Pope was going to bless the food of the clients. 300 people were there waiting for the Pope.
This is in D.C.?
D.C. So he was going to have a service at St. Patrick's, and whenever he exits the St. Patrick's Church, he will bless the food of these people who have who are served by Catholic Charities. So as soon as he got there, everybody was shouting, and they didn't tell us not to move from our places. So right after he blessed the food, everybody started running towards him. So I did the same. And I was lucky enough to be close to him and take the picture. I don't have words. I shook his hand. He was so peaceful. It was the most beautiful experience you have ever imagined.
And so I understand it's gone viral. How did that happen? You sent it out to someone who...
Well, I was volunteering with the social media team, so I sent it to my coworker, and she was at the social media, and then they posted in the USCCB page, and I sent it to so that's how it happened. So yeah, it's just
thrilling
experience. Yes, it's something that you will cherish forever.
So tell me your part of this.
Well,
together?
We are together. We're volunteering together. Maria's from Dallas. I'm from Arlington, Virginia, and we met in D.C., both as volunteers. As Maria mentioned, she works for the diocese, and I actually work for the federal government. And I've been helping any way I can, and I took 2 weeks off from my...
Is this a volunteer thing?
Yes. Yes, this is all.
Bless your heart.
Yes, and so this is just breathing the same air.
Amen. That's how I feel. I'm not getting anywhere near the Pope, but still, it's so worth it.
Yeah, I was happy. And for the last year, after he announced that he was coming, I said, oh, I'm getting a hug. I am getting a hug. I don't know how. I don't know where. I might get kicked out. I might get arrested. But I'm going to do it. But really, it was kind of a joke. Okay? Because how the heck am I going to... How is this going to happen? So on this particular morning, I was assigned to... covered at the nunciature as a volunteer to do what I had to do. And
this is again in D.C.?
Yes, again. Yes, so the nunciature, the ambassador's home to the U.S. in D.C., and that's where he was staying. And so this was very early. He had the speech at the White House that morning. And before he left, there was a gathering of probably, I don't know, 80 to 100 students from age 8 through high school, a mixture of public and Catholic schools. And I was stuck too, like, don't move. I was in lockdown. And once the cardinal came out, I thought, uh-oh. And they moved the Fiat in front of us. And we're like, oh. And I said, kids. So I actually had a moment to cheer the kids on and kind of.
Because it was about them for you.
It was about them. I was about them. They were there. I said, it's okay. Do you think he'll shake our hands? I'm like, if you ask, yes, he will. I said, if you want a hug, just ask him. And he touched everybody and gently, and we know he had to go meet with the president, but he...
Details.
But he shook anybody who got near him. He touched. If they wanted to be touched, he did. And the kids were so amazing, I think, and so grateful. They actually, opened a space for me and miss. And I grabbed his hand, and like a grandfather, I couldn't help it. I mean, I lost my grandfather's a long time ago, and I see him, and I see a grandfather. I grabbed his hand. I couldn't help it, and I kissed it. And not in that reverence like people used to kiss the Pope, but it was this tender moment. And in that moment, I asked him for a hug. I said, would you hug me? And I asked him in Spanish, which is also my native tongue. And I'm like, me da un abrazo. And he just gestured, of course. And he gave me the warmest smile. I'm like, wow. And yeah, it's beyond me. I think today it hit me. This was 2 days ago. And I didn't even know it was plastered all over the news. People were texting me that they had seen me on TV. I'm like, what? And knowing that she got a selfie, now I can share that. I feel like, I don't know.
She was feeling guilty.
I was feeling guilty that I got a chance to hug the Pope. You know, who am I?
You are a real Catholic.
Oh, yeah. I got the guilt down really, really well, from birth to over 40 years of practice. Uh-huh. Yes. So anyway.
Fantastic.
I feel like it's our job now to spread the Spirit. I think we've been blessed by a whole new level of the Holy Spirit that we have to touch people. So at this point, now that I've come down to earth,
I become a priest.
I wish you could be a priest.
Right. Well, if only. Yes, I did say that.
Safe here among friends.
Yes, anywhere I can serve, I am ready. So,
it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more from the New York City segment of Pope Francis's trip after this. You're listening to Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded Catholic radio show that airs from Wesleyan University's WESU, 88.1 FM Middletown, and WESUFM.org, and is rebroadcast by UConn's WHUS 91.7 FM Stores and WHUS.org, UConn's Radio for the People. Back after this.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected, would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
And then there are those who only need to be in the same space as the Pope to feel a spiritual connection. Victoria Cessna is one of those.
I was inside St. Patrick's Cathedral yesterday, where the Holy Father celebrated Vespers evening prayer service. We had a tremendous view, probably like right in the center of St. Patrick's, which is stunning. One of my media friends was saying that was luminous, and I think that's a beautiful word because it just sparkles. It's amazing. One of the things that I had heard is that Pope Francis, when he arrived, was going to do a blessing, and just was holy water. And we had it on good authority that anything you had with you when there's a blessing by the Pope is blessed. So I had brought with me a rosary that I have that's very close to me. It was a rosary that I gave my father when he was dying. And he passed away last summer.
And, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And he actually ended up putting it around his neck and wearing it, and he did not take it off, and he passed away. So I wanted to have that with me, when I was in the presence of the Holy Father. Taking a little piece of my father with me in that historic moment for myself and really kind of feeling that spiritual connection of him being in heaven, it was powerful.
Victoria's description of a luminous St. Patrick's Cathedral made me determined to swing by for a visit on my way uptown toward Central Park. The spruced-up cathedral is indeed brighter than the last time I'd visited. I paused to say a prayer of gratitude in the Mary Chapel, where the Blessed Sacrament was exposed on the altar for adoration. In the vestibule, in line to buy commemorative coins at a vending machine, I met Lisa Finelli from Bethlehem, Connecticut.
Well, I bought two coins. I got one for myself, of course, then one for my nephew. He goes to St. Mary Magdalene Church in Oakville, and he made a Pope puppet yesterday in school. And my sister couldn't be here, and he couldn't be here, so I thought, let me get it for him so it's something that can hopefully he can carry with him through his life and have that as a memento
and a reminder how important life is.
Just
oh, wow.
Okay.
You have some feeling for this Pope?
Absolutely.
What is it?
He's inclusive. He has is pretty basic. His message is to all mankind. So it's we're all in this together. We're all on this earth together, no matter if you believe in Catholicism or atheist or paganism or Jewish, whatever your religion. It's just we're all the same at the end of the day.
Right. Even the atheists. He said, if you can't pray, well, then just wish me well.
Like, who does that?
You hear that?
Exactly. And I thought it just rang so true to the heart because, I don't know, it's just I feel that we are all in this together. And if you really ask anybody, even those people who are afraid, everyone just wants to be loved anyway. So it's just a great message. And the fact that he's Catholic, they've had a lot of guidelines, but he's opening up those doors and he's making it available to everybody. So, which is good because it just brings us right back to the basics, I think, personally.
Time now to hike up to Central Park, where I joined a smattering of people at the barricades some 2+ hours before Pope Francis was to do a lap through the park. Yes, the feeling of joy that suffused the Pope's visit included a willingness to be patient, which for me, anyway, was remarkable. My new friends there were Bridget and Karen.
I tried to find a place to look out for him. And I was told, go up to the plaza and you'll find him. And that's what I did.
Do you believe we'll see him?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, sure. These guys don't fool around, no? No.
These guys meaning the police?
Yes, absolutely. It costs a lot of money. Yeah. You have to remember that.
Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not. I'm Lutheran.
Well, close enough.
Yeah, I go to St. Patrick's once in a while and, you know, find a little peace there. It's very beautiful there.
What do you think it is about this Pope?
I mean, Benedict was one of your countrymen.
You know what? I was not close to the religion at any time. Mm-hmm. And Benedict just didn't cut it. I didn't get warm to him. I didn't really worry about, since even Catholicism is not my religion, I didn't even make an effort.
But you've been paying attention to this one.
Not only since he came.
Oh.
Yeah, I just thought the man is great. All day long yesterday, coming from the White House, and the air, and all this shuffling around from one thing to the next. I'm surprised he made it that far and didn't faint, you know.
And his schedule today is crazy.
That's another one. He goes to Madison Square, which I'm not going to be attending. But
first the UN, then Ground Zero, then up to Harlem.
Yeah.
Then, he's 78 years old.
Oh, what else? I liked his little Fiat. Yes, it's nice. Of course, it's a show. We all know that to come down to the common man. But I still like it. You know? Yes, I do.
You have a lovely face.
Well, thank you.
May I say?
And that's enough now.
That's enough. Okay. Thank you, Bridget.
You're very welcome.
The scene at the park and pretty much everywhere included vendors hawking flags and T-shirts. This one we'll hear from next got chuckles from the crowd with his odd announcement that he had T-shirts and that he's black. Reading my WESU sweatshirt and reasonably Catholic T-shirt, he provided an impromptu pitch.
What is this, a microphone?
This is a microphone. Say
oh, record
again.
Me. Shirts and I'm black. I'm black, guys.
Buy a shirt for me.
Buy a shirt.
Is that a selling point?
You know what? I'm extorting the extortion. Since I'm black, I'm going to black it out.
Just. I think you're a little punchy.
You know what? I do hit certain notes. Anyway, look. Yeah. This is 88.1 FM, according to her sweater. Okay. And I'm black. For the seventh time. I'm handsome. Let's throw that in.
Sure. Say, Listen to
Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith at WESU 88.1 and some other stuff. FM, where Catholics rule and Francis is the man. And I like Farrakhan too. Have a great day.
Do I have to pay you for this?
Yo, yeah, I forgot about that part. Where's my money, lady?
Get out of here.
And then he appeared.
Yeah.
to heaven.
Well, they're not good pictures, but I got a picture.
Did you get something?
I got his arm out of the window.
All right, me too. What'd you get, honey? Yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel so holy now.
There was his little arm. I almost missed him. I was expecting the Pope mobile. Oh, that's so funny.
We all deserve a little credit to wait for the Pope. Right?
It was lovely meeting you.
It was lovely. In this crowd. And it was a pleasure talking to you. And now please edit it accordingly. Okay.
My friend, the NYU student, how was that? Was that worth it?
Yes, it was definitely worth it. I was here for probably over 2 hours, but we saw him for like probably 1 second, but it was definitely worth seeing. It was very emotional.
Karen, what is it about this Pope?
He's just very humble. Like, the other Pope didn't really connect with the people, I believe, but this one, he's like, he's a socialist and he's for the people, for the poor and the homeless and people who are sick. And I love that. And also, he's very into like making a change for the world. Like, he's using his power to do good for the world. So that's why I like him so much. He's also the first South American Pope. So I'm Peruvian, so I'm very happy that he's doing so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a neighbor.
You're listening to a special episode of Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, recapping Pope Francis's historic visit to the United States from a crowd's eye view, coming to you from WESU, 88.1 FM Middletown, providing community radio that matters, and WHUS 91.7 FM Stores, Yukon's radio for the people. Back with more after this message.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me. I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walking away from the park, I heard one woman tell her friend, "I saw his arm, I saw his arm, I saw the arm." Humans. Next stop, Madison Square Garden, where I couldn't get in. Seeing the TV coverage later with the Pope a speck in the enormous wraparound arena, I thought, really? They couldn't have squeezed in one more person? But then, why should I be special when a crush of hundreds was willing to wait outside for 2 hours to catch the merest glimpse of the pontiff after Mass? Having done my papal vigil for the day, I boarded an Amtrak train to Philly, where my seatmate was Maureen. We were in the quiet car, so we got to know each other in whispers.
It was very exciting, the opportunity to see Pope Francis in Central Park, and to be with my friend, who, like, as he said, this is the people's Pope. And I'm so excited about his visit in Philadelphia. I really appreciate how his actions really show his solidarity with the poor and living out, you know, living simply. I really appreciate that he's challenging capitalism and whether that's wealth is really in line with the gospel and the disparities and climate change. So he's radical, and that feels in line with Jesus.
Do you feel like you might be drawn back into the church?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. People like Father Dan Berrigan, Father Roy.
Bourgeois.
Yeah. The Catholic workers. In the history of, you know, maybe not present day living, but Dorothy Day, Romero, you know, so many people, names I know and names I don't, make me want to not leave my tradition. but I have had such a hard time resigning myself to realities of the church. The role of women, how gays are viewed, that they weren't created in God's image exactly with their sexuality the way that they are. The pedophilia crisis, and just the rampant corruption and money and hypocrisy by priests. I feel inspired to return with seeing someone of such caliber at such a high position, and rejecting what many before him never would have rejected. So, yeah, his humility is also really moving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Station stop, Philadelphia. My day started with a lucky find in the hotel elevator. A mom and dad with their little boy. They were all in their Sunday best. With dad still tying his tie and the little boy adorable in a dark suit, I asked, cluelessly, what's the occasion? Well, they were off to Mass at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, where they'd be entrusted with a special job.
Tell me your name and where you're from.
Maris Hilferty from Ocean City, New Jersey.
And what will you be doing today?
Today we'll be bringing up the communion to Pope Francis.
How are you doing? You look beautiful. You look like the Madonna in your blue dress.
Nervous and excited. And I rehearsed what I want to say to Pope Francis. And I'm going to be praying for all unwed mothers on the world today.
Is this a special...
My little Jack's here today. Yeah.
How did they get this gig? A friend of theirs, Jackie DeLallo, explained that little Jack's grandfather is CEO and president of Independence Health Group.
And he was co-chair of the World Meeting of Families. He was actually, I think, the subcommittee, the fundraising subcommittee. He raised probably most of the majority of the funds to make this happen. His assistant and Kathy that just got there, they've probably been working 2 years on this project. So to see it all come together, and then...
You say Mr. Hilferty went to Rome.
Went twice, not just once, twice. And
to do logistical...
He's reading. He's at the airport right now. And then he'll be part of that whole motorcade coming here to the cathedral.
Oh, my
God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, just to be here, I'm excited.
I know, in the reflected glow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I said to her, I said, you know, one of you can't go, I'm in.
Stay healthy, but...
Right, yeah, it's all good.
Jackie also said she notices a marked change in the city's vibe.
It's always a great city, but just the excitement and the friendliness and people were here from Wyoming we were with last night, and they were saying, you know, they wanted a cheesesteak. The policeman couldn't have been nicer. They took photos with the policeman.
Did they get a cheesesteak?
They did. Steve's, I think they said. And then there's their aunt is with them. I think she's 85. And they said she was stopping on the street and talking to people at a cafe and just...
It's pure love. It is. Love and joy.
It's this Pope. It really is, you know? If you don't love him, there's something wrong with you. I hate to say that, but he's just... You want to hug him. You do.
And now it was time to hike toward the Basilica through a strange landscape of no traffic. The whole downtown area, one big pedestrian walkway, punctuated by white tents where the metal detectors were set up and where all of us pilgrims were made to empty our pockets onto a table and submit to having a wand waved over us front and back. Even the manhole covers had been soldered shut. The first people I encountered were Ann Hodge and Donna Otto from New Jersey.
Tell me why it's important to you to be here today.
For me, I feel Pope Francis is a successor of Jesus, and I wanted to be in his presence and just feel that love and acceptance.
He's our Holy Father. You have to come see him. We don't know if we'll get to Italy to see him, so he's here. First time in the United States.
He's an advocate for the poor and the lonely, and I think he understands us. And maybe we need to take some lessons to be more kind and loving to others. I'm thinking that for myself. Yeah. And experience the people. I mean, a nice person like you.
Aww.
Experience the nice people and connect for a moment. And it's important.
I never
love each
do
other.
This kind of thing. Really? You know, get up early, come to city concerts and all. but I'll do it for the Pope.
He would do it for you.
He's here for us.
He's here for us. Next, I met Barb and Michael Olejniczak here from Detroit. They planned to stay put on the sidewalk along Pope Francis's travel route for 12, yes, 12 hours. Dad, a lawyer, had an iPad with him and was working remotely, and the two children also had electronics to occupy them.
Yeah. It's not even 7:30 a.m. You're going to sit here.
We've been out here since 5:45.
So you're going to wait here 12 hours to see the Pope go by.
Yes, because I think it's our best chance to see the Pope is right here.
Why is it so important to you?
I think just because, I mean, he's just a great Pope. I mean, and his messages and his tolerance for all people, and
so you've been planning this for how long? Ever since you heard?
And yeah, since last November. Yeah, so
you bought your tickets way ahead.
Yeah, we bought our plane tickets in December of last year. Yeah, so we knew we were coming. Now it was a Christmas present to the kids. They're in high school, so you know it's hard to buy them gifts. So experiences is what we look for, and so this was experience 2015.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I mean, it's an event. You know, we're Catholic, and I know not everybody here is, but it's important that your kids, if you want them to grow in your faith, they have similar experiences. So this is important to us.
And they're good with sitting here for 12 hours?
Yeah, we talk about that. You know, it's different than when we were kids, you had to sit for 12 hours. So as you can see, we have electronic devices, but it's an event. So it's much like being at a baseball game or a concert. I mean, if you like people watching, even if you're not Catholic or don't want to see the Pope, it's a great place to be.
What a great spirit you have.
No, we're enjoying it. We came in last night, and we'll fly out Monday morning. So the kids didn't miss any school on Friday, and we'll land in Detroit at 11 o'clock. They'll miss only half a day on Monday. So,
and they'll have such a great story to tell.
You know, it's for me, my wife, it's once in a lifetime. You know, we're not in position to go to the Vatican, but this is our chance, so we're not going to miss it.
So hope that you get to see the Pope.
Well, hopefully he'll come down the parade. Like we said, we're going to wait 12 hours. We'll see him for 20 seconds.
I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
Please, God, let these people see the Pope.
No, it'll work out. So, yeah, thank you.
As for their children, Mary and Andrew.
You're interested in this Pope this much?
I'm interested, just not extremely enthusiastic
about it. For sitting all day, that's when it happens, it'll be very exciting, right?
You will be jumping up and down. What about you, buddy?
I mean, I'm pretty excited for it. Yeah. So, yeah.
You're listening to a crowd's eye view of Pope Francis's visit to America on Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from WESU, 88.1 FM Middletown, providing community radio that matters, and WHUS, 91.7 FM Stores, Yukon's radio for the people. Back with more after this message.
If you care about animals, good health, and the earth, please consider becoming a vegetarian. The lives you save may include your own. For free, tasty vegetarian recipes, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
I will follow him.
A little farther along the barricades, Anne, Donna, and I parked ourselves in view of a jumbotron. The speed limit 30 miles per hour sign in front of it is seared into our brains. Next to us were Paul and Carita Geib with their children, Julia and PJ. They're from Philadelphia. Their other child, Anna, 5, is at home. She's excited about the Pope, but not so good with waiting.
So as a local person, you seem untroubled by the
subway down last night. Stayed at a hotel right downtown.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
Way down now, and he said there's no one on the train. Nobody. So it's good. See what happens.
It's not disruptive that you have to maneuver around all these roadblocks and deal with security.
The roadblocks are only in the business district of the city. Okay. They're not in the peripheral ring. Okay. Although the bridges are shut down, 95 is closed, 76 is closed, but it's not bad. I mean, what are you going to do? Biggest security undertaking ever between here, New York, and Washington. Yeah.
I should mention, by the way, that even though the crowd was a dozen people thick and miles long leading to and from the Basilica, none of us knew if the Pope was actually going to pass by. Even the police claimed not to know anything. We got dribbles of intelligence from such unreliable sources as the coffee shop lady in the hotel behind us.
And the coffee lady says, oh, you just took a bite of your banana. We'll wait.
He'll be passing right through here.
He will?
Yeah.
Wow. These cheers are because the Pope is being seen on the Jumbotron descending the steps of the plane. He's in Philadelphia. He's on the ground. Looking good. Looking no worse for the wear. I don't know. He doesn't look tired to me.
I tell you, it must be...
He had a good night's sleep.
God must be taking care of him, you know? He's not tired like the rest of us. Yeah. It's so pleasant. Look at the smile. Lovely. Yeah.
Lovely man. Absolutely. You feel it.
You feel
it's real.
It. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So much love. Yeah.
Also in our little neighborhood was Villanova student Maeve Kavanaugh. She's a Democrat, is all for women priests and same-sex marriage, loves the Pope's stand against the death penalty, and, in short, is a reasonable Catholic.
Someone raised you right, Maeve Kavanaugh.
Yay, my parents will be glad to hear that.
Have fun.
I was interviewing a next-generation reasonable Catholic, Logan Harrigan, up from Florida for the Pope's visit, when I noticed that her aunt was crying.
You love this Pope.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Fine. I don't know. I don't know why. I couldn't even tell you. It's wonderful. I was here in 79 with John Paul II, and we saw him on Broad Street. And I just remember my grandmother's crying.
Jules, are you cold?
It's fine.
You're a beautiful person.
I asked young Logan and her cousin Julia what they liked about Pope Francis. Logan likes that he rides in the little Fiat instead of a limo, among other things.
His, like, smile. Like, it just seems so nice and warm and gentle. Like, he's the nicest person. Yeah. And his English is very good for someone that came from Argentina.
Well, do you know what I read?
He does is practice it, too.
He practiced all summer. Isn't that cute? He goes to school just like you.
Like, he just, like, it means a lot just to, like, have him do that just for us. Just to interact. And I'm so happy to be here, too, because, like, what is it? This is, like, a chance you may not ever get, because some popes may be, like, I love going to different places, but I'm just getting so old and stuff like that. So it's nice to have this.
Let me ask you something. Do you think women should be priests?
I don't know.
I have to think about that.
Yeah, it kind of depends. Like, I guess if they really, really wanted to be a priest, they should have the right. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't, that's a really tough
You think
question.
About it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, in some ways, I think it's great if women want to become priests because they can learn about God and they can preach it in, like, their own way. If women were able to be priests, then priests, like, men would be able to be, like, Sisters of Mercy, like, nuns, which is, like, would kind of be strange, I think.
I never heard it quite explained that way. They need the Pope to say it's okay.
Yeah. Yes. Because the president has nothing to say with that. He's just all about, like, the politics and then the wars and the all
that. No, it's up to the Pope. So we have to pray that the Pope gets his head around that.
Yeah.
It's only fair, I think.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's so much in the world that needs to be fixed.
Women are so good at fixing things.
Yeah, men are important because they're strong, but women can be strong too. Women have different abilities at the same time, just as men have their abilities.
Thank you, ladies. Young theologians in the making.
And so we waited and waited and took part in the Mass via Jumbotron. The crowd grew quiet during the consecration and said the responses and afterward shared the sign of peace with loved ones and strangers. To my right was a very devout woman in a veil, her head bowed and her hands clasped, while just behind me, some college students from Illinois, members of their campus Newman Club, enjoyed buffalo hot wings. It takes all kinds to make a church. After Mass, the livelier spirit resumed, with people sharing favorite anecdotes they'd heard about the Pope, such as his having gotten new eyeglasses last month.
And he was, you know, telling the guy he doesn't need new frames, he just needs new lenses. Why should he put the money, why should they, you know, waste the money on that? Is that adorable?
Pretty soon it became all too clear that Pope Francis's exit from the Basilica was not going to take him past us. I asked Maeve, the Villanova freshman, how she was doing.
I'm all right. I'm a little disappointed that he didn't come past us after waiting for 3 hours, but it's pretty cool that he's still in the city, so he's close to me, but it was disappointing a little bit.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
As for Carita,
very peaceful.
You know?
Right.
Very peaceful. So.
It's very moving.
It's very moving. So it's just amazing that so many people are motivated by one man. Yeah. So,
what do you think that says about our need? You know that he's touched such a chord in people.
I think it shows that, you know, our faith is for every man. You know, that he was just that regular man one day, and for some reason God chose him. And I think maybe that's like a sense of what we are, that, you know, God comes to us at, you know, our weakest point, our best point, but he is there for us, and it's just whether we answer. And I don't know, just shows that the simplicity of God's love and the basic of, you know, I just think it's just always there. It's just whether we're there to listen and, you know, when we're open to it, I guess that's what it is. Like, so amazing, the cross-section of economic, religious, social diversity. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. I'm so glad my kids can see this.
It was absolutely worth it, she said. She said she feels compelled to do something now, to answer the question Pope Francis raised in his homily when he recalled a question a bishop had put to St. Catherine Drexel, a Philadelphia native.
To do something now.
Yes.
And what about you? What about you? You know? It's a good calling. Very good calling.
Really resonant message.
Mm-hmm. It is. So hopefully we'll see him.
Was it worth it, honey?
Yeah. Yes, it was. I guess. Well, even though you don't get to see him, you still have that, like, vibe that he's here. Like, he was literally not even a mile away from us. He was in that room, which is just, like, closer than you would think. Like, even though you can't see him, it's still in spirit, I guess.
And that's all for this episode of Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. You won't want to miss the gallery of photos I'll be posting on the ReasonablyCatholic.com website, as well as the audio, of course. It was truly an honor to be in D.C., New York, and Philly for this historic and moving occasion. A really big thank you to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops for the credentials, even though I didn't really use them much. And a huge thanks to my dean, David H. Goldenberg of the University of Hartford's Hillier College, and also the head of Hillier's Humanities Department, Professor Anthony Rauchi, for their financial support of the trip. My thanks go out, too, to friends and colleagues for sharing their enthusiasm over the Pope. Thanks to Professor Leslie Johnson and Professor Jacqueline Conley for being so cool with my going briefly AWOL. And of course, thanks to my husband Leith for logistical and technical help in getting all of these moving parts to work, for telling me I should stay in a hotel and not the train station, and for having amazing home-cooked meals waiting for me when I got home from each leg of the trip. God bless Pope Francis, who I hope is enjoying a nice rest from his American travels. He's asked for our prayers, and it's the least we can do for all he's given us. Ad multos annos, Papa. I'm Maria Johnson. Thanks for listening. Now stay tuned for the Jive at 5, followed by Brass and Sass with DJ Thrasher.
Gracias, and God bless.
Was it worth it, honey?
Yeah. Yes, it was, I guess. Well, even though you don't get to see him, you still have that, like, vibe that he's here. Like, he was literally not even a mile away from us. He was in that room, which is just, like, closer than you would think. Like, even though you can't see him, it's still, like, it's still in spirit.